Dad Bod Rap Pod. We're back. Nate, what episode is this?
128.
Right. Welcome to episode 128, The Search for a New Tomorrow, on here on Dad Bod Rap Pod. My name is Damone Carter, aka Dim One. I am joined, not in physical form, but in virtual essence, by Mr. Nate LeBlanc. How's it going?
I'm good. Thank you, Damone. Thank you, Dave. Thank you, mystery guest, who will be mentioned in a second.
To be named later. Yes, absolutely. And also joining us via the Zoom contraption, we have Mr. David Ma. What's good, man?
What's up, Damone? Thank you for having us back, man. It's always good to be here. Nate, good to see you. And I'm really looking forward to our guests this evening.
Yes, absolutely. Those who listen to the Dad Bod Rap Pod know very well that typically I am the only person who has fathered children in our space here. The other ones just have dad bods, actually not Dave at all, which pisses me off. but today we are joined by a hip-hop DJ producer, also dad. In the Zoom, we have Mr. Square Wheezy, also known as Wheezmatic, also known as Wheezy affectionately, of the Finger Bangers, who are now as the Finger Bangers. No, who are just known as the Bangers because they went PG. No, I'm just kidding.
Hello, Wheezy,
what's happening, man?
Oh, I'm doing great, man. It's an honor to be here. I'm super excited. Yeah, man, I just want to do like a bunch of like just boop, 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 because I'm like, man, this is so dope.
Yeah, it's great to have you. When we can afford a sampler, we'll definitely get to the boop, 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 boops. But for now, we have you in the building. Let me ask you this. The starter question for this week is, we've all been, you know, back when there was society and you could like move around places and talk to people, you've all been out somewhere and you've heard this question. And Wheezy, we'll start with you about how you feel about this question and what it brings up for you. Is, you're walking out of fucking Togo's and somebody goes, hey, bro, do you like hip hop? What's the first thing that comes into your mind when you hear that?
That's so triggering, man, because like, it depends on the day that you catch me in. Sometimes I'm like, no, I do not like hip hop at all. I don't want to put on those headphones that you have in your hand. I know that a million other ears have been on. I'm good. But on other days, I'm like, you catch me in a good mood, I feel like, I appreciate that guy's hustle. I'm still not putting on those headphones, but maybe I'll slip him a 5, or maybe just like, not be so rude, but yeah, man, it could go either way.
Yeah, yeah, when you're outside of Togo's, that's how it goes
down.
Yeah,
I'm definitely, you won't catch me outside of Togo's, especially if there's a dude asking if I like hip-hop. That's, a lot of red flags are happening there.
Have you ever encountered it where somebody actually had some dope shit? Has that ever happened to you in your entire history of being CD hustled?
Nah, man, never, dude. Like, never. It's always so bad, dude.
Man,
dude, like lyrical miracles and everything. It's like,
it's a lot of lyrical miracle. I think that's a great way. Dave, You're a really nice, friendly guy who talks to everybody who talks to you. What is your response to that question when you get, or do you get that question?
Oh, man. I don't get it to my face, but I mean, there's probably two reactions to that. I mean, one, I would probably be like, what is hip hop? And then do a transition into a continuation. or two, I would play the card of being like, me don't speak English, and they're just gonna be like, they're just gonna be like, this little Asian guy, peace, you know.
Oh,
Nate, what about you, man?
I always say no. Yeah. And I think of the four of us, I'm like the least hip hop presenting. You know what I mean? Like, I could definitely, like, only Phil Collins. Like, if you met me and you had never spoken before, you could think I was into Pearl Jam very easily.
Oh, man.
And at a time in my life, I kind of was. But the worst time that ever happened to me, I was in a very small restaurant, like, maybe, like, 12 tables on a date night with my wife. I think this is right before we got married, so we were dating at the time. So it was actual date night where, like, I needed
trying to win
to be made. And our waiter was like, hey bro, you like hip-hop?
Oh, God, no.
Damn it.
This was the closest I ever went to being like, don't do this. Don't start.
I don't need a side of hip hop right now, bro.
Yeah, I know. Totally. Please, yeah.
Yeah. Can you refill my drink?
Can I ask Nate, only because I think I know the answer to this question, what restaurant were you at?
We were at Opa when it was in Willow Glen, and it was so tiny.
Wow. Yep. Really?
And that, knowing a little bit more about that, I'm sure they were just trying to do this guy a favor. He wasn't really a waiter per se. He was just playing one on TV that night. But yeah, it's the worst situation, because even if you say no and be a dick, which I believe that's what I did in this scenario, you're a dick, right? And right. But if you say yes, now you're entertaining. Like, he's going to come up and like run the specials.
Totally.
Or like, what are we doing?
Freestyle.
Totally.
Reminiscent of MC Shan in L.A. Story, starring Steve Martin.
Mm. Oh, wow.
Damn. Man.
There's a rapping waiter bit in that.
Okay. Poor Shan. Hip-hop legend turned bit player in a Steve Martin flick. I like how Nate leans into his white privilege as soon as somebody asks, do you like hip-hop, bro?
You know what's funny is it's almost always kind of a street hip-hop. Like, it used to be underground hip-hop, like, koofy kind of style right. hip-hop. And now, if right. anyone asks, it's almost always, like, street hip-hop. And I could just be like,
no, bro.
Like, this is very close to, like, the homeless gentleman who will try to sell you the street sheet. It's like, they need the dollar, not for you to read their poetry. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't really matter. I don't want to know the homeless news. You know what I mean? Like, it's
like... Yeah.
Your cold piece.
What niche. I don't want is like, I do like hip-hop, and then you're going to proceed with like this freaking freestyle that I really don't want. Like, yo, please, just leave me alone. I just want to like disappear.
Totally. There was a time in my life where I was going out in San Francisco a lot and drinking and going in bars and DJing and stuff. And it felt like the homeless people, again, not to totally equate these two things, it's just the stories that it brings up to me. The homeless people would feel like they needed to do some kind of performance to get money. Somebody would tell a joke. Somebody would beatbox. And the worst you could do is beatboxing, because now someone is spitting in your ear. Pre-COVID, I'm not going to want to have that happening. I'll just be like, don't beatbox. Here's a dollar. Homer Simpsoning into the bushes.
Lord have mercy. That is, you guys want to know the best tactic for getting that off you? Is be like, I only listen to Christian rap, bro. Nine times out of 10, that's going to shake them off. Now, on the 10th time when it is Christian rap, you got to buy it. That's how that works.
You got it.
Yeah, you just got to be like, okay, Chance the Rapper, I'll take this.
Yeah.
thanks, Dave. And other rappers selling their wares news, a rapper that is near and dear to us who has been on the program and that we think very highly of, Rap Ferreira, a.k.a. Milo, released the Purple Moonlight Pages vinyl. And the price point had fans and vinyl, you know, enthusiasts kind of a little bit roiled up. And I'm gonna toss it over to our vinyl correspondent, Nate LeBlanc, with the details on the story. Mr. Nate.
Thanks, Damone. We're here in Brooklyn, and things are getting heated. So we talked about this a lot on Twitter. I talked about it a lot in DMs with other people. We talked about it on our brand new Friday night IG Live show, 5 p.m. Pacific. We're cracking jokes on IG Live. I'll just say this. I like records. If I have to own a record, I'm going to pay what it takes to get it. And I'm very privileged to be in a position to do that. Maybe I'll skip the next 3 or 4 records I was going to buy, or skip buying a pair of shoes, or get Safeway brand something instead of LaCroix, or you know, like there's a lot of ways to get $77. I could sell a record. I could not drive my car and ride my bike for a week and not buy a tank of gas. Like, there's a lot of ways to budget a record purchase if you really want to have the record. I really wanted this record. I can't remember if I told this part of the story yet or not, but like, I bought the tape for this record, and I don't own a tape player. I have a sealed $50 tape sitting on my shelf as a little cute memento of my fandom of Milo, because I love this fucking record. So by the end of this, I will have spent $127 on physical products for something I could listen to for free, because I fuck with it.
Right.
Right. And I need him to continue making music and to feed his family and to have a place to live so I can get more raps in my life. You know what I mean? So that's just kind of how I feel about it. Wheezy, you're our guest. Would you pay $77 for a record? It's okay if the answer is no.
I would, because I feel like with physical product nowadays, it's more considered like pieces of artwork. You know what I'm saying? Exactly. Like, the music is already out there on streaming. You can get that for free. And if it's like a supporting the artist thing and you're broke and you can't, don't have the money or means to like justify a $77 purchase, you could always like, yo, repost it or, you know, tell a couple friends. Like, that's supporting the artist. You know what I mean? Don't, like, if you don't got the money, don't feel like you're obligated to like, yo, I got to buy this $77. I was like, yo, like you were saying, it's like, you know, if you have the means to do it, go for it, man. It's going to help him feed himself. He got like a whole bunch of tour dates canceled. Yeah, so he's trying to coop the way that he can, and it's like, dude, $77 is like mad worth it for something like on the resale market. How much is that gonna go for?
Exactly.
Yeah. Right. Hundreds. Like, it's kind of like how Nike does. Like, yo, these freaking chunky dunky dunkle dunks are like are like $100, but they're gonna resell for like thousands of bucks. Like, why can't he like make his loot where he can make his loot, dog? Like, you know, like. Gone are the days of just like, I don't know, man. Like, I don't know what I'm trying to say, but like, yo, it's with physical product, they're like, it's okay if you don't open them and like to listen to it. You can always stream it. It's like, it's just having that, the like the an art piece, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's a great way of looking at it. Dave, I know you collect a little bit too. When you saw this at the $77 price point, what was kind of your thought process?
My immediate knee jerk was like, fuck the haters, man. Like, what's most bothersome to me is that, like, who are you to tell what an artist should charge for his or her work? Hey, just don't buy it. It's that simple. You know, we got a little bit of pushback too. We put out, Prince Paul's upcoming record for, it's the soundtrack to Who Killed Malcolm X. Right. And it was a big vinyl package. There's a poster, it's autographed, all that stuff. We sold it for $90. And we got a little bit of pushback too. And it's just like, how dare you? How dare you, like, when you walk into the Louvre and say the Mona Lisa is overpriced? You know what I mean? Just don't buy it.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. That's pretty much ooh, my take. I mean, I don't have anything crazy nuanced besides like, fuck off.
Dave, it's kind of funny, and maybe it like softened the blow for the Rap Ferrera record, which I was going to buy either way, but it wasn't the most expensive record I bought in the last couple of months. So you actually set the bar pretty high.
That's like, right.
My best friend is putting out a record with Prince Paul and I'm not going to buy it? Like, what am I, a monster? Like, of course I'm buying that. The 900, we would have to talk, but like, you could have taken it up a little higher, and I'm still gonna buy it. It's like, it's you guys, it's Prince Paul, it's Don
totally
New York. Like,
totally.
It's like a limited run too, right? Like, you only made 100 copies, right?
250.
And then it comes with all that added value. Like, come on,
man. Right. Like, and to your point earlier, Wheezy, it's just like, you're buying a package of artwork. You know, the music is just one component of it now.
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
Okay, so if
Damone, you have kids, play this out. And you just moved, and you are not the biggest vinyl head in the world, so what do you think about this?
I support it for the reasons that kind of Wheezy talked about, in the sense that Milo can't tour, you know what I mean? And I think any creative way you can come up with to support yourself is great, and I wasn't aware, because you're right, I don't collect vinyl too tough. Is that all the Rubaiyat stuff has such a resale value. And this is where it lands for me, is as somebody who's seen my very early work sold for a lot more than what I was selling it for. Why can some dude named Dieter come up on my shit, but I can't? You know what I mean? And so that for me is why I landed in this shit. Like, why is it okay for a handful of collectors to profit off of these things, but when the artist does it, somehow it's weird or obscene. But I like that Milo kind of leaned into it, and it seems like even the hype around it is working for him. So shout out to Rap Ferrera. Is that right?
Yeah, I think he'll sell out on like Tuesday or Wednesday.
Dope. Good for him. And his family and everybody involved.
And just so everyone knows, it's 1500. It's limited, but that's not really what we would consider to be that limited these days. Right. But if you
but it's good.
Have a calculator on your phone and you do 77 times 1500, chunk of change. And obviously there were costs involved and there's costs for shipping and all that stuff. But like, this is a good, this is a good little come up. Does it make up for five tours worth of money in 2020 value? No, I doubt
probably
it.
Probably not.
Especially not because every time you tour, you gain new fans and you're mostly selling record to your previous fans. So it's like, there's a lot of conflicting impulses here.
Yeah. That's like a whole bunch of like streaming revenue that he's probably missing out on and just gaining fans on tour. Right.
Right.
Totally. Yeah. Like, you know, he's going to be gaining new fans as he's touring. That's ups the streaming, however much that is.
Totally. Like,
let the dude make his loot, man.
Yeah, totally.
I think that's the headline here is, folks are far too concerned with what the Milos of the world are charging and not the fact Jeff Bezos doesn't pay taxes. Weezy.
Yes.
Weezy, you've got a new project out that we want to give you a little time to plug here. What you got coming out the oven?
Yeah, last week I dropped a three-song remix project called Revisions. It's just been some remixes that I had laying around that I wanted to finish up while we were during lockdown. So it was just like one of those projects. I was like, man, if I don't come out with something out of this whole COVID stay-at-home thing, then I'm just a fool. You know what I'm saying? I'm just making excuses. So it was a fun little project. There's a Drake remix on there, a Lloyd remix, a Tinashe remix, but I kind of flip it to my own way. Three different styles, three different flavors, just to get everybody's palate wet. Pause if I need to do that.
There it is. So where can people interact with this?
They could go to my website, wheezematic.com. It will forward you over to a Bandcamp site. And you could get it right there. And I just released a shirt also. So if you buy a shirt, you'll get that. You could also download the project for free. But yeah, just go there now.
Nice. DBRP listeners, especially people who've been with us for a while, have heard a little bit of Weezy's music before. I can't remember what show number it was, but we did feature some of your beats like a year ago-ish.
It was about a year ago. It was the one with, I believe, the Fat Boys.
Prince Marky D.
Prince Marky D, nice.
Who could forget the halcyon days of us not knowing Prince Marky D was a famous producer after the Fat Boys and making a whole interview about the Fat Boys. And he's like, you guys know I produced Mary J. Blige's first album that was 10 times platinum, right?
Yeah, dude, I was like, oh, he's a big deal. Like, he did a lot of shit after
Of course we did.
Prince Marky D, thanks. Man, Weez, we appreciate you coming on, man. We encourage everybody to go to wheezematic.com, check out the new remix project. Is it baby making music, yes or no?
One of them is. The other two, if you're trying to get in and out real quick, I guess.
Hey-o. Smash and Dash or baby making music. Weez, thanks for coming on the program, man.
Yo, before I go, I want to just acknowledge you guys on all the great work that you guys been doing, just like as far as the educating and all that. Dog, I looked up so many dope artists by just tuning into you guys. Like, I have a lot of my favorite albums from this year from suggestions that you guys made.
Right on, Weezy. Thanks, man. Be well. All right. Peace.
Dad Bod Rap Pod, we are back with another dope guest on the line. Dope guest, plural. We have a duo that has put out a new record called Miles, which is amazing. We had a couple days to sit with it, and we're really impressed. We want to welcome, joining us via phone, is Blue in Exile. How's it going?
Hello. How you guys doing?
Good. Really good. Yeah. Your guys' record is fantastic. You can tell that there was a lot of work put into it and a lot of thought put into it. Mm-hmm. And we're just happy to have you here to be able to ask you a couple questions. So really appreciate you joining us. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, man. Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. Let me start. I'll start by asking you a question, Exile. What was it like at the start, the outset of this project? The soundscape for this is definitely very heavily jazz influenced. And I'm wondering if that was a deliberate decision at the outset. Obviously, the record's called Miles, and the single Miles is amazing as well. But can you talk a little bit about the sound of this record and how you came upon it?
I wonder if they are really so many jazz samples. Hey, there is a lot of jazz samples. Part of it was deliberate as far as like Blue finding me samples. And
I would say it is, I mean, coming from my perspective.
It's more deliberate.
From my perspective of choosing beats, my bad.
Yeah, that too. And then just trying to cater to a sound that I think would be best for Blue.
Okay, perfect, perfect. Hey, guys, well, first off, happy 13th anniversary on Below the Heavens, man. I wanted to quickly ask you guys. I read that for Gimme Flowers, it was a little bit less of a personal work process because you guys like did some of it through the internet, whereas the first one was more hands-on. But I read that for this one, you guys were back to basics. Can you talk about the making of this album and sort of what the chemistry like, since it was a bit more hands-on of a process?
Well, it was like a just really getting on the same page and really like exchanging more ideas and concepts and what we wanted to accomplish with the album. And I mean, I wrote Blue out like even like a whole like letter at one point before we started the album, and then we just really locked in. And then when we met up, we got back, you know, at least for some of the songs, to where I was making beats on the spot and Blue was writing, and then we'd get to recording right afterwards, which is always a fun way to work, you know, and a way to like nourish our chemistry, you know.
Blue, let me ask you specifically a question. I think there's a lot of beautiful and vivid writing on this record, but one of the tracks that really stood out to me was, let me make sure I get the title right here, To the Fall But Not Forgotten. Can you tell us a little bit about the making of that track and just kind of your writing process on this project?
That track was about, you know, kind of remembering the people who have put you in the position that you're in at the same time while you're trying to proceed and succeed in life and go miles in life. You know, as you're trying to go miles in life, you know, you should definitely remember the people who put you in that place. So as we journey through, we definitely wanted to take time out to acknowledge more people, you know.
Absolutely. Are you a big jazz fan? Like, are you listening to records like that? And were you a big student of the culture before? It feels like it flows very easily for you.
I'm more of a new jazz fan. You know, once I started digging around the age, for like the last 10 years, I've been a jazz fan. You know, I'm 30 now. I've been a hip hop fan most of my life, but I've been a jazz fan for probably the last 10 years.
Do you feel like you guys as a group, and either of you can answer this, get credit as being one of the best rap duos? Like, do you think you've been properly credited given the work you've put out?
Yes. I think we're definitely, it's much love, you know what I mean? We get mad love. We get mad comparisons to, like, you know, our favorites, you know what I mean? So, like, it's definitely there, man. It's definitely there. You know, we always strive for more as human beings, but, you know, we definitely get a whole lot of love for just being an awesome duo.
Yeah, you know, like, it definitely has exceeded our expectations, you know, where our creative, you know, unit has taken us in life has you know, it's been really like manifest destiny, and yeah, it's been a childhood dream come true for real. You know, we can always want more, but I'm definitely like happy And this album being released too, the response has just been so amazing. And the work that we put behind this record and what we've gone through in life has been, I mean, at least from my perspective, it's been extremely hard. And so to make it out, like, and just not give up and do exactly what we wanted to do and to do it and to have the response we're getting is incredible. It's a dream come true. It's like getting through the battle of life, really, you know, and coming out and making it to a place where you wanted to be, you know.
Dope. Thank you, guys. You know, the guest list on this album seems like a personal one, right? So you have Allo Black, who's worked with Exile, of course, and then Miguel is a childhood friend of Blues. We would be remiss if we didn't bring up AC Alone. You know, on the show, we kind of just nerd out, whether it's amongst each other or just with artists. And so for you guys, can you guys both touch a little bit about AC Alone's sort of importance in LA's music scene?
Can I start this off? I've been an AC Alone fan and Project Blowed fan, like, since the beginning, since, like, 92, yes, hearing him on the Michael Mixing Moore show in L.A., and the mystique behind them was just so real for me, like, dubbing his tapes of, like, their albums before finding it, and then seeing them perform. And I was a huge fan of them, and then meeting Blue and working with Blue, I would try to hip him to Freestyle Fellowship. But at that time, it was over his head, and we didn't see eye to eye there. It was, you know, because his taste was at a certain level at that time. But before the making of this album, he finally became a huge fan of them. And then I had finally had the chance to show him all of the music and have his full attention, which was like a cool moment for me and for us. And we both, like, got to relish in being ultra fans of Freestyle Fellowship and Project Blowed. And then to me, it just felt like, you know, an extension of that, you know, Blue being an LAMC and understanding the importance of Freestyle Fellowship, and then to be able to bring him on to this just felt like getting to work with one of the greats, you know, out here, mm-hmm. and someone that I've always looked up to. And,
exactly.
Yeah, and it's just like paying homage and respect.
So. Definitely. X summed that up well for both of us. You know what I mean?
Thank you for that, guys. I'm going to prompt this question a little bit. And I guess I want to talk about the album's length, but not in a disparaging way at all. It's just a notable thing about your record. Projects are getting shorter and shorter. 7-song things we used to call EPs are being considered LPs and getting nominated for Grammys. Like, how did you decide to kind of go along with this and really, like, explore the edges of, you know, the full LP, or maybe 2 LP, 3 LP in this case, time frame? Was it just you had so much material you wanted people to hear it, or did you want to make a long record?
We felt like we had to make up for lost time, you know. That's the best way to put it, really.
And we did want to get all the material out because we still got more material to put out. Wow. So it's just like cleaning the slate and freeing these blessings that were given to us somehow to express ourselves creatively, and just freeing those birds and letting them fly over the masses and kick poops.
That's nice. What's up. And nice. And we are all the beneficiaries of that shit, as it were.
No need to watch the windows.
Oh my god.
Just let that go on the windshield.
That's dope. Did the current kind of lockdown situation influence the recording of this? Does that did that overlap at all, like the quarantine and all that?
No, not at all. We actually had the record done before the quarantine.
Okay.
But a cool thing about it is some of the songs somehow like relate directly to it, which I thought was pretty cool. And it, you know, you like to think maybe that it wasn't a mistake that happened. You know, I like to think that, but
divine intervention.
Hey, this next question is for Blue. You know, I'm a fan of your work, and you've worked with so many great producers, Shafiq Hussein, Oh No, even Madlib. But you know, I feel like your work with Exile resonates the most, at least to me. And I feel like your guys' fans probably think that as well. Blue, what do you think, what is it about Exile's production that speaks to you?
It's more so the man behind the production, you know what I mean? Exile personally, gets down with me on songs, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
He personally has concepts for me, beats he'll set aside just for me, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, and we have such a strong relationship. We've known each other much longer than a lot of the producers I've worked with. And we've already put out records. So it's a very mature level when we get together and start working on new stuff. You know, and it's easier to collaborate, you know?
Mm-hmm. So
right on.
Exile is the best, you know what I mean?
I'm going to take that one step further. This question is for Exile, and like all my questions, sorry about this. It starts with a statement and ends with a question. You really have a way of dissecting music, in particular soul music, or perhaps like a sweet soul or a lowrider oldies sound that just like sounds really natural, and you bring out a lot of the natural elements into it, but into a hip-hop realm. Can you tell us a little bit about like just working within that soul music palette?
Could you be more specific?
Sure. Did you listen to like East Side Story when you were growing up? Like,
oh yeah, yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Listen to Art LeBeau. Like, what makes you like want to like kind of dig into that style?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, that there you go. Like, you know, I felt like what I wanted to do is I you know, yes, I listened to Art LeBeau and oldies. I hung out with you know, Essays and like, you know, Mexican folks and, you know, Cali shit and whatnot. And I wanted to make an album with Choosy because of his lineage. And I wanted it to be an album that could resonate, you know, with how I like to make music, like with, like maybe I'll say, you know, make an album that's like some Blue and Exile shit that Blue and Exile fans would fuck with, but have it be through the eyes of someone, you know, catered for someone who is Mexican, and with how they tell their story, but also with how the music is. And, you know, I mean, that's been done before with, like, say, Cypress Hill or something like that, but they didn't really do it on the oldies tip. And that's been done on the oldies tip with other cats, but I think it was more niche for, like, a Chicano rap thing as opposed to just, like, an overall, like, part of, like, the quote-unquote, like, culture of hip-hop. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
I wanted something that sounded, that was Chicano, but was absolutely like hip-hop, something that could be classic.
That's dope.
Yeah,
and that was the challenge, to make a soulful Chicano album that, you know, all fans of like the hip-hop,
yeah,
you know, of hip-hop would fuck with. It wouldn't just be like someone who's into Chicano rap, you know, or someone who's into, like, you know what I mean? So I felt it just kind of brought in people who weren't part of the, who aren't even part of Chicano culture to enjoy the album.
Yeah. We're from San Jose, and I think we grew up in a very similar way as what you're describing, and like Lowrider magazine was founded here. So it's just, it's like a part of our, the fabric of our lives. So I thought the way that you flipped
for
it
sure.
and brought it into kind of like the modern hip hop era was just really well done. So appreciate Thank that.
You know, you guys, so, I mean, with the new album being out and everybody's talking about it and stuff, I want to take it back to Below the Heavens though. When was the last time you guys heard that, and how does it sit with you nowadays?
I heard it a few times this year, just comparing it to the Miles record just before, just personally on my own, and it sits well with. I think it's like Exile said earlier, it goes beyond our expectations. You know what I mean? So not just the fame of the record or anything, but just sitting with the listening to what actually touches people from the record. You know what I mean? Just getting those vibes, listening to it, comparing the record. But yeah, I listened to it a couple of times this year.
So now that we're in this era where touring is not possible, kind of how does that impact the way you guys push the record out? And like how, you know, some artists have put out, we talked about Milo's new record, which he put out for $77. Like, do you guys have any upcoming wrinkles to this release for fans to interact with the music since you won't be able to go out?
Yeah, I was just actually hanging out with my buddy, and he did the Flowers artwork and the Exile Radio artwork, and we were trying to, we've been discussing how to do something special for the people. We have a few ideas, and maybe we might try to charge people to check it out. One of the ideas is we might do a live streaming event, like or a show or whatever, like at the LA River, or trying to figure out how to do visuals, or like just do something different that people would want to check out. So yeah, we plan on doing something like that, and still developing it.
Okay, that's super dope. Yeah, I mean, I just want to really thank you guys for making the time to come on the Dead Bod Rap Pod. The album Miles is out right now. It's an excellent album, 20 tracks, which is like Nate said, unheard of, but all super dope, man. So we just want to thank you guys for coming on the program.
Thank you guys for having us. Definitely.
There it is,
y'all. All right. Peace. Thank you, guys.
Right. Peace, guys. Thanks a bunch. Great work.
Peace.
Thank you. You guys have a good one.
All right. Yeah, you too.
Yep. Easy.
Dad Bod Rap Pod, that was our conversation with Blue and Exile, whose record Miles is out right now. Super, super dope record. And I thought they had some thoughtful responses. They seem like a real number one connected group. You know what I mean? You can tell when you're talking to a couple folks who work together a lot. And so the chemistry on the record definitely showed in the interview.
Definitely. I think you can tell by sort of our reactions as well, our glowing reactions, is how much we love the new album. I think it's so dope. I mean, Nate spoke to the length of the album earlier, and it's like, yeah, you know what? I don't want longer albums unless they're all good songs, you know? So this is another case of that. And, you know, these guys aren't like type of dudes that are all over the press cycles, you know? They pop out here and there. So it's really good to get a little glimpse of their world and what went into the record.
So I think we should consider them. I had a whole note on my notepad, do you guys think of yourselves as a group? And I didn't even need to ask it because they were very forceful. Like, yes, we are a group.
Mm-hmm.
We're a duo, and we're among the duos, and we get discussed among our heroes and stuff, which I think is really cool. I love hearing that, honestly.
Same.
Same. Also, to that point, we've interviewed so many people who, I think, Damone, you asked, like, do you guys feel like you get enough credit? They're like, yeah, totally, we get enough credit. We're right in there. And I'm like, I love hearing that too. I love a confident artist.
Totally.
But I think we should have a little bit of a discussion around, do you guys think of Below the Heavens as a classic? Because it defines how I would consider them as a group.
Right.
They would have to have a classic album. And in 10 years, maybe we'll be talking about this one like that. But for now, right, the main work is Below the Heavens. And I'll just start. I think it is, but only for the the people who fuck with it, which I don't know if that means it is or not. You know what I mean?
Oh.
It's kind of a niche album, but I do think it's kind of a modern classic. It's kind of in between eras.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's not Project Blowed, like Freestyle Fellowship stuff. It's not new school, like what we're dealing with now, the Vanguard or whatever you call it. It came at a weird time. Mm-hmm. But I think for a lot of LA folks and a lot of West Coast hip hop fans and people who like wordy, laid back, jazzy hip hop, which is a lot of people, and frankly, most of my friends, it is thought of as one of the best records of that kind of niche. So I'm just curious what you guys think of that.
I think I think you kind of hit the nail on the head saying that it's a modern classic, which sort of categorizes it, and you know, with a bunch of exceptions, right? So it's like, I do think that many people think that it is a total 100% classic. I don't know if it's like I don't know if it's personally a classic and the sense of like Illmatic is a classic, you know what I mean? But I do think that it continually ages well. Every time I hear a track, I think it's dope. Exile just gets better and better, but the foundational gems are heard on that album. And so, you know, personally to me, I don't think it's a classic because, you know, I think 36 Chambers is a classic, but time will only tell, and they're definitely on their way.
What about you, Damone?
I think if Blue and Exile were a duo from Brooklyn, it would be considered a classic.
So you think there's West Coast bias?
Oh, definitely. I think in the conversation, which is why I asked the question, I think their name doesn't come up as much because even amongst LA artists, they're kind of an outlier. To your point, Nate, it's not of the Project Blowed kind of, high experimental rhyme flow type stuff. And it was interesting to hear Exile talk about trying to hit Blue to Project Blowed. And he was like, nah, you know what I mean? And eventually coming around, because he seems like he's a little younger, right? But it's not that. It doesn't fit neatly into any of the LA subgenres, except for something like a Dilated Peoples. That's kind of the closest lane to theirs. And I feel like that type of rap, actually, because it's not from New York, I just think people don't know what to do with it. We don't think about Blue and Exile when we talk about the great West Coast groups, even in their own kind of lane. So I think it's that kind of categorization that prevents something like Below the Heavens from being widely accepted. But to me, I'm like, it's very similar. I think on par with the Black Star record, like with Black Star's first record. I was going, in terms of beats and rhymes coming together, Blue is a really good songwriter. He has a great voice. Exile is an amazing producer. Although I will say this, Miles is May in the End, and it's only been out for a couple days, so I don't want to be too hyperbolic. I think Miles in the End may be a better record because it seems like they're both really in their bag, and you have to be able to carry a 20-song album in 2020. When I first saw the track list, I was like, let me see when I tap out. You know what I mean? Like, let me see, like, okay, 7, you guys know I'm notorious for being like, 5 songs is a good record. There's at least 15 to 16 good to really good songs on this record. So I'm interested to see where this falls in kind of the rankings when it's all said and done.
Yeah, I have another kind of question to provoke you with, and I'm just curious what you guys think, and I don't have an answer for this one, so I'm not going to take the first stab at it. Maybe Dave, you could take this. Would they be considered a better group if they had a group name?
I don't think so. I mean, there's plenty of people with like sort of long-winded, or group names are a bit of a mouthful. I think, sort of to Damone's point, though, I think this album will cement that stature. It shows so much maturation between the first album. And part of the reason why the first album works so well is because it does sort of have a sophomoric approach to it. It's like a bunch of dudes who are doing stuff in their bedroom. It's not super serious professional, but it's, you know, it has all the basics that you need, right? So with this album, I think it's a little bit more stronger. So I think you're right, Damone. I think time will tell. But I think, you know, we're talking boom, bap, and basics. I mean, this album is pretty much right on.
Yeah, that's Damone. Really interesting. Because Blue in Exile is not, it's in the way that Black Star, the comparison I just made, maybe folks don't consider them a group, because Blue worked on Exile worked on the Choosy record. Blue has worked with other people, so that's a really interesting thing. Would Gangstar be Gangstar if it was just called Guru and Premier? Interesting, so. Interesting. Probably still would be Gangstar.
Yeah, that's a good example for what I was going for, which is like, you know, Outkast. Right? It's everybody knows what you're going to get when you get that. Mm-hmm. And like, now Big Boy has a bunch of solo records, and Andre is a flautist, and I lost my rhythm on my joke, but I was going to say a jumpsuit designer, and like all kinds of other things. But there, you know, Outkast. It's right. Like, is it Blue the solo artist and Exile the solo artist? And I do mm-hmm. think that changes people's perceptions. I don't have a strong feeling about this mm-hmm. either way, mm-hmm. but
that's interesting.
Yeah, I was, and stuff like that mattered more in the olden days. It mattered right. more mm. when you got your information from a magazine you had to subscribe to or go to a store to buy.
Totally.
And you could only listen to a CD if you paid $17 for it. Like, you needed the strong branding of like
totally.
A dynamic to catch people's attention, right. I think. And now it's the internet. The information floats around. You grab what you can grab, and all the rest of it floats by you. And it's just not, it doesn't matter as much anymore. But I do think in order for them to be considered among the greats, they'd have to have like this really solid track record. And they're on their way. This new album's very good. We'd love for you all to listen to it and let us know what you think of it. And especially if you heard about it because of us, we'd love to hear that, because we're getting a lot of good feedback that we serve as kind of a recommendation engine for people who listen to the show. And we're like a filtering process. No one can listen to everything, but we're trying to listen to what's out there and bring you what we think is important in the moment. So that's been mm-hmm. a fun, cool thing that's been going on lately. It's like when people have been like, oh my God, I never heard of X, but I did because I listened to your show. And it's like, we'll keep doing it then, you know?
No, totally, totally. I mean, there were a few years there when I sort of checked out of, you know, keeping up with hip hop, you know? And this is the type of show that, without patting ourselves on the back, that I wish was there for me, you know?
Totally.
Exactly.
And Dave, to that point, those years where I was kind of checked out, or more to the point, like embittered and jaded mm-hmm. and didn't mm-hmm. think anything could be good, is when Below the Heavens came out.
Totally.
And I didn't really give it a chance.
Right, right.
I was like, I never heard of this shit. Like,
right,
Who's Blue? You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I was all like chip on my shoulder.
Totally.
And so I didn't listen to it really until years later when I mm-hmm. had like relaxed a little bit and I was able to take in new sounds. And then I was like, oh,
right,
this is
right.
super good.
It's also a bit of an age thing, though, because at that point we've already experienced all this stuff. But there are cats that are just a little bit younger that think it's just the end all. But just think it's the shit. And sometimes, obviously, it's just when music enters your life, right?
For sure.
Absolutely, Dave. I feel like I love your thing of be the podcast you wanted when you were a kid.
Right.
Is what we aspire to here on the Dad Bod Rap Pod. Please interact with us. We are on the socials at Dad Bod Rap Pod, on Twitter at Dad Bod Rap Pod, on Instagram Live. Nate and Dave, I'm calling it right now, Nate and Dave will be doing an IG live this Friday at 5 o'clock PST. Yeah, Dave, we're drafting you, bro. I held down the first 2 weeks. Somebody else has to be Nate's foil as he pulls out all of his favorite vinyl and drinks hipster beers. But check us out on IG live, 5 p.m. PST. We do a little kind of half hour We hash a little bit of what happened on the latest episode, as well as talk about vaginal hair and all of the, that's a real thing. You guys didn't see that last week. Dude, that was a fun moment. So we're out there on the socials. You can also check out the Dad Bod Rap Pod podcast. Obviously you found it somehow, but we are on Google Play, Spotify, Apple Music, Kiki.co.uk is our UK syndication partner. So please check out the program there. Do we have anything that we want to plug at this time? No.
I will say this without giving too much away. I have had a lot of conversations with our fellow kind of what I would call indie rap podcast bros lately. And I just want to say, without getting into why we're all talking, it's really cool to be part of a community. All of you out there grinding every week to get good guests and make a thoughtful show and edit everything properly. Like, I see you. And I know it's not easy. And I think, like, there's some really cool shit happening. And the more the merrier. And I'm always down to, like, share information and to learn from you guys, because people are doing killer stuff. So maybe some more collabs in our future. Perhaps we kind of thought this would be the year of the collab when we set out, and then the year just tried to destroy us, essentially.
It's been a minute
since we had a really successful collab, but it was really fun last time we did it. So anyway, I'm giving a little too much away, but I just want to say it's been cool meeting some of the fellow members of the community lately and chatting with them.
Absolutely. The pod bros are out in full force trying to get our content game together. Dave, you don't have any like juicy name dropping to make us all secretly hate you?
This sounds so pretentious, but I'm always working on at least like five to eight projects kind of floating around. I just did a thing with the zombies that was just published on Wax
Poetics. Oh, that's right.
Week. So that's always a blast. I mean, especially these days to sort of work outside of the rap realm. That's always super fun. And nothing that I can reveal at the moment, but there's a couple big things that I'm working on. Yeah.
Okay.
So thank you for bringing that up, man.
Yeah. Yeah. When you come out with your Kanye election tour coverage, we are going to be super excited.
Oh, man.
Yeah, man. Dad Bod Rap Pod, we are dropping new episodes every Thursday, new guests, people who are moving and shaping the culture. Stay tuned, stay locked, stay alive. How about that? And come back and check out more of the Dad Bod Rap Pod.
Thank you, everyone, for being here.